It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
Welcome to Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, Mark and Craig, the Pot Brothers at Law, your world's number one source for everything cannabis. And folks, today I'm holding it down. Blue was supposed to join me. We'll see, you know, we're on the verge of a new year and everything else coming at you, and everybody's all in different places. So maybe Blue will jump on, maybe he won't. Joe's up in Big Bear somewhere. My big brother's off riding his bike. I don't know where he is. And I am going to get into some cannabis news. Cannabis goes bad. Who's making waves? But first, don't forget, May 11th to the 14th in Las Vegas, it is the Budtender Awards has created G4 Live with a vision to be the most ambitious and essential cannabis event ever. This show is designed for people that want to take their business to the next level. Join us in Las Vegas, May 11th to the 14th, 2022, at the all-new Resort World. Snoop Dogg and Travis Barker will be performing live together for the first time, and we hear they're going to be doing Shut the Fuck Up rap battle. And we're going to be doing a Shut the Fuck Up daily script review on stage with them and everybody else. So be there. G4 Live. Use code STFU20 for 20% off of your tickets. If you don't go, you don't grow. That's G4 Live. All right. Now, we start off with a horrible, horrible story out of Idaho. The headline reads, wrongful death lawsuit to be filed over THC-CBD labeling mix-up. I mean, without even reading the story and just hearing that headline, we already know somebody got a hold of something they thought was CBD, and it wasn't. Let's see what happened here. As part of an ongoing fallout from Curaleaf's September CBD and THC label mix-up, a 10th lawsuit is expected in the coming days. According to an Oregon Public Broadcasting report, they say 10 lawsuits have come out of this mix-up. Unlike the previous 9 lawsuits, though, already filed against Curaleaf Holdings over the incident, this one involves an alleged wrongful death. This is very interesting because we've always felt no one can be killed from cannabis. Let's see what's going on. This case will be brought by the family of Earl Jacob, who is 78, out of Idaho, who, along with his wife, consumed the mislabeled products in late August. This led to a visit to the emergency room, where doctors say he exhibited stroke-like symptoms. Over the next 2 weeks, Jacob would take 2 more trips to the hospital via helicopter, OBP reports. His family believes the series of events was triggered by consumption of large amounts of THC in the mislabeled Curaleaf products. This is sad. The suit will argue it brought him to the point where he essentially was comatose and then succumbed to an unrelated COVID-19 disease several weeks later. This is sounding a little fishy. Now, the attorney handling the case, Michael Fuller, said his other clients experienced confusion, dizziness, thoughts of death, and psychosis after taking the products. Another serious case involved Michael Lopez, who was admitted to the hospital with stroke-like symptoms and experienced unnecessary surgery, fear of death, and psychosis. The Oregon Liquor Control Commission issued the recall in September. The select brand CBD tinctures because they contained undisclosed levels of THC. The OBLCC would quickly issue a second recall for the brand's THC tinctures as they contained no THC. So what was supposed to be CBD had THC, and what was supposed to be THC had CBD. That's a pretty big fuck up. Curaleaf had no comment on the lawsuit. In other words, they shut the fuck up. Good move there. But they said in a statement, Isn't that a comment? A team member confused two containers during the filling and packaging process, one containing CBD and one containing THC. This resulted in a single batch of CBD tincture being labeled as THC drops, and vice versa, the company said. The amount of THC would within the regulatory limit for a normal batch for our THC drops, but we understand that some customers may have consumed multiple doses. So this is a major fuck up. Now, where these lawsuits ultimately go, especially this wrongful death one, because we're not just dealing with somebody who had cannabis, THC, and then died. That didn't happen. This person apparently contracted COVID too. So I don't know. They're mixing it in there. It's not just cut and dry. Now, I don't know any of the other facts or anything else regarding that case, but that alone right there where they mention and it's the attorney bringing the cases is kind of blowing off the fact that the guy had COVID and that's probably what ultimately killed him. But I'm sure they're arguing that the THC was a contributing factor, which, you know, there's an apportionment for negligence that can happen. So it'll be interesting to see where these cases go. But, you know, something like this is not what the cannabis industry needs. With all of the bullshit going on, all the naysayers, everybody hating on it, now they can point, oh, well, look at this fuck up here. You know, I mean, it was a mistake. Mistakes happen. Recalls happen. They just recalled a bunch of chicken or something from E. coli or whatever it was. My car had a recall because of some faulty brake pads or something of that nature. And hey, people can die from things like that. From negligence of others in business, people die. And it's unfortunate. And something like this is ultra, ultra unfortunate because it just doesn't help the cannabis industry when people can throw bad things out like this. Here's another story. And this is when cannabis goes really bad, but it's not really cannabis. Out of Florida, 40 people hospitalized for excessive bleeding caused by spice drug. Spice. This is when they take the, you know, cannabis, lace it, put shit in it, make it synthetic. I don't know what they do, but it's a fucked up alternative to cannabis. Dozens of Floridians have been hospitalized due to their use of a cannabis alternative. More than 40 Florida residents in Hillsborough County have been hospitalized due to severe bleeding caused by the use of synthetic cannabis. Don't use synthetic cannabis. Don't use anything that's not just grown and natural. Here they say, we are closely monitoring the situation and working with public health agencies, said the Florida Prison Control. Toxicologists and poison specialists are assisting hospitals in the treatment of the poison patients. The individuals in question displayed symptoms associated with a condition where the blood's ability to clot is impaired. While the symptoms reported have varied, most cases have been bruising, nosebleeds, bleeding gums, vomiting, blood in the urine, in the stool, and heavy menstrual bleeding for the women. Synthetic cannabis refers to a multitude of illegal substances that produce experiences similar to cannabis, and they are marketed as safe and legal alternatives to cannabis. And the National Institute of Drug Abuse is telling this, and the product is often sold under various names like K2, fake weed, Yucatan Fire, and many others. Synthetic cannabis was once sold in convenience stores and online, believe it or not, but had now been heavily restricted by the law. So hopefully people who are hearing this, or if you know people who are trying to use synthetic cannabis, don't do it. Cannabis, the plant, is just fine all by itself. Put a seed, love, care, all the right proper ingredients, and, you know, head over to our guy Big Mike at Advanced Nutrients and get all the nutrients you need to grow a perfect cannabis plant. You can do it in your backyard. I can't, I don't have a green thumb, but people do it. There's no reason to be smoking on or using any of this synthetic crap. It's crap, it's shit, it's killing people, it's hurting people. So please, please stick to the natural cannabis plant. And we'll be right back after this break. It's Cannabis Talk 101.
We'll be right back with Cannabis Talk 101. Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101. Mark Wasserman here, the Wass, holding it down for everybody as they are doing other things. And I want to get into another cannabis case here when cannabis goes really bad. I like those. And this one's out of Murphy, North Carolina. More than 900 pounds of cannabis seized. This just infuriates me when I see headlines like this, because I already know that either the cannabis that was seized, this 900 pounds, a good portion of it's going to be stolen, taken by the police, and who knows what they're going to do with it, or they're going to destroy it and kill it and destroy it when they should be giving it away to vets and people who need it, patients who are dying, patients who have diseases and illnesses that cause them to not be able to eat, have no appetite. Give them the cannabis. Okay, sorry. I was just getting through the headline. I can't even get through that. All right, let's try it again. Out of Murphy, North Carolina, that headline reads, more than 900 pounds of marijuana seized outside North Carolina casino. Authorities made an unexpected multi-million dollar cannabis bust at a casino in North Carolina. Unexpected. They just walked on into it, huh? Stumbled upon it. The Cherokee Indian Police Department said an officer, I love this, had responded to a domestic violence incident at the Harrah's Valley River Casino. Oh, how many times I have heard this story. As a criminal defense attorney going on three decades now, I have heard this story many times. And they were waiting with the victim for her ride to arrive and pick her up. When her friend did arrive, they were driving a U-Haul truck bearing a North Carolina-issued Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians license plate. Now, we're talking about a domestic violence call. There's a victim at the casino that the victim calls a friend to come pick him up. The friend comes pick him up in this truck, and the cops start questioning the friend. Because the article says, after questioning the driver about the license plate, the fuck is it their business? Somebody's coming from somewhere else with a different license plate, but this is what they look for. The driver consented to a search of the truck. Another thing that drives me batty, the driver consented. He said, okay, you can search. And what do the police find inside? Multiple loaded syringes, two firearms, and over 900 pounds of processed cannabis. The driver said to search. What, he suddenly forgot that it was all in there? What the fuck? Police said the street value, here it comes, more than $3 million. And we know that's overblown. And of the 900 pounds, we know they weighed all the bags and however it was packaged and whatever it was in. And the jars, they weighed it all. We know they did that. They probably weighed an extra 100 pounds of bullshit. That's not the plant. But we'll find out later. Now, Daniel Jerry Wiggins, 28, of 10 Mile, Tennessee, was charged with trafficking a controlled substance and displaying a fictitious tag. So he had a fake tag. Brandon Thomas Jones, 27, of 10 Mile, Tennessee, was also arrested in connection to the original assault call and charged with assault of a female. And he was also in possession of methamphetamines and paraphernalia. Police released photos of the drugs and the gun seized. But let's talk about this, because this guy wasn't even pulled over. This guy was going to pick somebody up, and he came in a truck that had a license plate out of state, And the cops asked him questions. Can you imagine if he said, I'm not discussing my day? What were they going to do? And then he consented to the search. They had no reason or probable cause to get into that car. But the failure to shut the fuck up, the failure to stick to our easy 25-word script, and the failure to never consent to a search lands this guy just where he should be. Because let's face it, if you're driving around with all that shit and needles and, you know, if it's just cannabis, I feel differently about that person. I don't think that person's a criminal or committing a real heinous criminal act. But you throw in all the other stuff with the needles and syringes and meth and everything else and firearms and, you know, guns and drugs don't mix. So if you got all that, I don't feel so bad for you. But we're not talking about what's in your car or any of that shit. We're talking about your rights. We're talking about a basic, not even a pullover. This was just an example of a cop fishing. They went on a fishing expedition. They caught the guy who didn't know his rights and they struck gold. Good for them, right? But we can all learn a lesson from it by sticking to the script. Why did you pull me over? I'm not discussing my day. Am I being detained or am I free to go? And then if detained, I invoke the fifth. And then you all know you shut the fuck up. All right. Let's look at a company who is weeding out the competition. And my apologies, because this company has baked an 850-pound pop brownie. 850-pound pop brownie out of Norwood, Massachusetts. I mean, this sounds like it could go bad. A Massachusetts cannabis company is celebrating National Brownie Day with what it believes is the largest THC-infused brownie ever made. MaryMed Inc. said the massive confection is 3 feet by 3 feet. That's 0.9 meters by 0.9 meters. If you're in other countries that use the metric system differently, square and 15 inches tall, weighs 850 pounds. That's 385 kilograms and contains, are you ready for this? 20,000 milligrams of THC. Wow. Now that might even be too much for me. Maybe, but I'd like to give it a shot. The brownie was also made to celebrate the launch of the company's new line of cannabis-infused edibles called Bubby's Baked, according to a statement from the Norwood-based company that also facilitates in several other states. So this is a multi-state operator. What happens to the brownie now? I mean, they made a 20,000 milligram brownie. Company spokesperson Howard Schachter said, it will be sent to its Middleborough dispensary and ultimately sold to a medical cannabis patient. As to what the customer plans to do with it, they couldn't say. And the purchase price is still being determined. Wow. Wow. A 20,000 milligram cannabis brownie. I'm just, you know, I could dream about that because as everybody already knows, I need a lot of cannabis to get through my days and to help me sleep. And I had been looking for some form of an edible that had about 10,000 milligrams in it that I could take at night to really put me down and help me sleep. So that's double the dose. But you know what? I might have to go over there and put in a bid. Are they accepting bids? We're going to have to reach out to that company, get them on the line, get them on the next podcast so we can talk about that 20,000 milligrams of THC. While we're talking about good THC, let's talk about Cali FX. Cali FX's full and broad spectrum hemp extracted products contain CBD, CBG, and some 1,300 plus other elements and are naturally derived substances from the hemp and cannabis plant. Check out the tinctures, waters, topicals, and vape collections. Go feel the effects with Cali FX. CaliFX.com, live the ride. And this is Cannabis Talk 101 We will be right back after this break.
We'll be right back with Cannabis Talk 101. Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101.
Take a hit, get lit, and sit back and enjoy Cannabis Talk 101. Mark and Craig, Pop Brothers at Law, Blue and Joe Grande. This is your world's number one source for everything cannabis. And I am going to continue on with some cannabis news out of Malta. Malta becomes the first European country to legalize cannabis. Malta's parliament voted 36-27 on Tuesday to legalize cannabis, becoming the first European Union nation to fully pass reforms. This is what the BBC reports. Under the law, adults can legally possess up to 7 grams of cannabis and cultivate up to 4 plants. Now, smoking cannabis in public and in front of children remains outlawed. So that's not so different than what we're dealing with here in the States, especially in California, where let me say, it's stupid. It's really stupid because the tourists come here and people who even just live here and go in and purchase adult use cannabis. We're not talking medicinal. We're talking adult use cannabis, like they're talking about here in Malta. You go in and buy it, and then you can't smoke it anywhere. There's no goddamn lounges to go to. You can't smoke it on the street. It's illegal. You have to be in a private place, which just still makes absolutely no sense to me and infuriates me. But in California, you can combat this. As we say all the time, if you're in California, get your physician's recommendation. Get that physician's recommendation. And I'll explain it. You might have heard it before, but it bears repeating. If you have the physician's recommendation, you can possess more. You can possess up to 8 ounces instead of up to 1 ounce. You can smoke damn near anywhere you want, except 5 places. There are 5 places you cannot smoke in California, even with the physician's recommendation. So with the physician's recommendation, here's where you cannot light up. In a no smoking zone, we'll revisit that in a minute. In a motor vehicle that's operating, while operating a boat within 1,000 feet from a school or youth facility, on a school bus. Okay, those 5 places can't do it. Now, with your physician's rec, outside of those 5 places, you can toke up wherever you want. Wherever somebody is smoking a cigarette or a cigar or vaping or whatever, you can do that in public places. Now, I warn you, especially when you travel, even from city to city in California and other places, some cities are no smoking zone cities. You get into the city and you can't smoke anything, not a cigarette, not a pipe, not a cigar, not a vape, nothing, including cannabis. So that would fall under no smoking zone. So know the laws when you go traveling around. Now, if you go to an amusement park, like Disneyland or Magic Mountain or wherever, any amusement park, any private, which is a private place, same with private restaurants. If they allow cigar and cigarette smoke, but not cannabis, that's a no smoking zone. So if you go to Disneyland, there's a smoking area. And if you are caught smoking cannabis, they will kick you out, try to take your stuff too. So know those rules and laws. Google your state. I don't know, we can't mention other states. We're California attorneys. But normal.org has a fantastic breakdown of all the laws and what's going on in all the states with cannabis. And we encourage you to learn those laws, especially when you travel. So, you know, we're about to go to New York next week for CannaCon, which, by the way, we're going to be doing our performance seminar, The Etiquette of Engaging Law Enforcement, How to Shut the Fuck Up When Cops Ask Questions. It's a very unique seminar. You spend an hour with us. And we teach you everything we've always talked about regarding your Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights, engaging with law enforcement, utilizing those rights properly, our 25-word script. We get into great Q&A, and then we do what's called the script challenge, which we do every Friday at noon on our Instagram page live, where we bring people in, and at the seminar, we bring you on stage. I'm the cop. We pull you over and we go through it. And if you can get the 25 words in order the way we teach and preach, you can win potentially $100 cash app from Top Tree. Spray 420's got some great gifts. Rocket Seeds, we have great gifts from all of our sponsors to give away when we do that. And then the delivery of something called Am I Being Detained or Am I Free to Go? A slam poem. So that's going to be at Canicon, canicon.org. Use code STFU30 for 30% off. That's next week, January 7th and 8th. Come check us out at Canicon. Now, as we get back into this story from Malta, Equality Minister Owen Bonici, who promoted the legislation, described the vote as historic, adding that it would keep cannabis consumers from criminal penalties and will curb drug trafficking by making sure that users now have a safe and regularized way to get their cannabis, and they know it's safe. The law sets fines for individuals possessing more than 7 grams. Now here, let me stop here, because that headline was talking all about legalizing cannabis, right? Let me read that headline again. Malta becomes first European country to legalize cannabis. Bullshit. California legalized cannabis. Colorado was the first state in 2012 to legalize cannabis. Bullshit. And I'm reading it right here. It's not legal. It's not legal anywhere in the United States. It's not legal anywhere, okay? It's still federally illegal. And state by state, there's limits, just like they have here. Limits. Now, let's see. The limit is possessing more than 7 grams in public, but less than 28 grams is a fine of up to 100 euros. 235 euros for smoking in public. There it is. You can't smoke in public. And up to 500 euros for consuming cannabis in front of anyone under 18 years old. So it's the same in Malta with a headline like that. It is not legal. I think Blue just joined us, although I can't hear you, Blue. Your mic's off, but let me finish this story. Are you there, Blue?
Yes, sir.
Still can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Let me finish this story.
Okay.
Because minors caught with cannabis will be recommended a care of treatment as opposed to an arrest. And that's something they're doing here also, as they've changed the laws. If you're a minor, they're not just going to arrest you and throw you in the clink. They're going to try to get you help. But that's bullshit too, because, I mean, that's a whole other show we can talk about. Under the plan in Malta, associations will be set up to distribute cannabis. Sounds like what we did here in California back in 2008, when cannabis seeds and individuals can only be part of one association. That was like medical cooperatives and collectives. So it looks like that's what they're doing. Now, the reform was opposed by Malta's opposition nationalist party, and the leader of that party, who initially supported the law, told the Times of Malta that it would only lead to strengthening of the illegal market with organized crime taking advantage. The party is urging Malta President George Vella not to sign the bill. He has a point. That there's a big point there, and we're seeing it happen here. Now, Blue, can we hear you now?
Can you hear me now?
There we go. I hear you.
What's up, brother? I had to dial in. It wouldn't let me zoom in from the audio. Probably because I didn't start with you from the beginning or something. Who knows? How you doing, brother?
No, good, good. This is the perfect time to cut in. I'm actually towards the end of the show, but I was talking about Malta and the headline that said they legalized. And I was just going through how that's all bullshit. There's no legalization. It's partial, all that crap, you know. And they were, the opposition in Malta said, and I'm going to say it for the third time so you can hear it, this bill will only lead to strengthening of the illegal market. That's exactly what's happening in California, right, Blue?
Well, it's more of that, right? So it's just like almost like it's being encouraged. You know, they're encouraging it to be, you know, the illicit market to thrive based on the way they set up the laws and organized the structure, you know. And I don't think they designed it that way in the beginning, but I think everybody's starting to realize that's what it is. So when do we fix it, right?
It ain't ever going to. It's like, I don't know how it can be fixed. It's so deep, and we're seeing so much of the black market thrive. And, you know, so I can agree with the opposition over here in Malta taking that stance. And all they got to do is look across the water and see what's going on over here, not only in California, but other states that are, you know, just kind of doing the same thing. And I guess on the next show, we can get into more of the federal bullshit legalization that's supposed to be coming, but not really, or whatever that all is. I mean, it's very frustrating. I'm sure you're frustrated, Blue. You've been in this knee deep for 20 years. I mean, you would think we'd be somewhere by now, right?
You know, it's funny because it's like the double-edged sword, right? I'm happy that we are at least somewhere. I'll give them we're somewhere, you know, but because I can't go complete against the grain and go just this is bullshit completely. But it, because I mean, we've gotten somewhere. We're happy to get a little nibble, a little understanding of what may look to come. But again, I'm waiting for the, you know, federal to put their gloves down and just, you know, and just give up and say it's time to, you know, the fight's over, right? And but you know, as you say, we may never happen. You know,
I have been saying that a lot, and I mean, if federal's gonna happen, I would hope they learn the lessons that all the mistakes, all these states made, and do something about it. But hey, we can only hope and pray for that. And in the meantime, we can just keep on token up and keep on educating. Right, Blue?
Well, there it is, guys. Cannabis Talk 101. And remember this, if no one else loves you,
we do.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.